It is wonderful to be with you this morning. I don't know how you are feeling, whether you're excited to be here, but as I've been looking at this passage this week, I've got more and more excited. So as I speak these words out, these words are as much for me as I believe they are for you. So let's see where God takes us in the next few moments. We're going to go into Galatians 1, verses 11 to 24. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, known to us as Peter, and stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. Don't worry, guys, this time I don't have 8 points. I've only got 6 points. Is that all right? So first of all, we're going to kick off with transformed by the gospel of Jesus. We read in verses 11 and 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from a man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Friends, Paul was transformed by an encounter with Jesus. We are all sinners, and when we meet Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior, we are transformed, not by our works, no, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are made new. Peace with God is not something that can be earned. No works can earn it, but it's a free gift open to all who choose to follow Jesus. There is nobody that cannot be impacted by the good news of Jesus. Nobody. This is shown clearly by Paul turning away from his old way of life and becoming a follower of Jesus. Let's read the account of Paul's conversion. It's really good. It's in Acts 9 if you want to have a look. And I'd really encourage you to just have a little look at Acts later on if you get a moment. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priests and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, if you're wondering what the way is, who belonged to Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Wow. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias! Yes, Lord, he answered. I don't know, do you answer yes, Lord, when the Lord speaks to you? Do you go, yes, Lord? Or do you go, oh, please not me, Lord? He said, yes, Lord. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. I love how specific it is. And ask for a man from Tarsus named Paul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias thought, no way, I'm not going to go there and do this because I'm too frightened. No, he didn't. He said, he went to the house and entered it, placing hands on Saul. He said, this is really cool, this next bit. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something, I bet he was relieved at that moment, actually. I just thought of that, you know. He's gone and done this thing, and then suddenly, immediately, Jesus, don't make him wait 10 minutes. No, immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Friends, God directly intervened on the road to Emmaus. It was a wow moment. It was a wow moment. Paul recognized he had sinned and messed up, and he repented of his old ways of life and made a choice to follow Jesus. Paul turned away from his old way of living, and his sins were forgiven. There's a box here, and I feel like I'm going to fall through it, so I'm just going to move to here, if that's right. Secondly, authentic reflection in verses 13 to 14. For you have heard my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Paul didn't hide his old way of life. He was honest about it, as he reflects in this letter. He shows authenticity to the readers, most likely several churches in Galatia. William Barclay writes, Paul had been the arch persecutor of the church. He had devastated the church. The word he uses is the word for utterly ransacking a city. Okay, he tried to make a scorched earth of the church, and now his one aim, for which he was prepared to spend himself even to death, was to spread the same church over all the earth. Paul had an about turn. He turned from one way of living to a way of living for Jesus and building his church. Paul used his authentic reflection as part of his testimony. He didn't try and hide it away and pretend it didn't happen. To be frank with you, everybody knew it had happened because they had heard of this guy called Saul and all that he had done. Thirdly, we are called by grace. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased. Friends, humanly speaking, it can be hard to get our heads around the fact that Paul was forgiven and welcomed into God's family. But God's ways, friends, are not our ways. It was even difficult for Paul to get it. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, we read this, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church." Friends, grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Grace is everything, everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. I just want to pause for a moment and just ask you, do you feel a bit like Paul sometimes? You probably haven't done some of the crazy stuff, but you might feel like Paul. You don't deserve it. You're the bottom of the pile. Do you know, today, Jesus wants to say, you're the best. You are the best. You're the best. You're not bottom of the pile like the Apostle Paul felt. He was like the lowliest. You are not. Jesus wants to lift you up and say, you are my child. Grace. Friends, embrace it. Embrace it. You see, grace, you see, the grace of Jesus was sufficient. The price had been paid. The grace Paul received was generous, free, and totally unexpected and undeserved. That same grace is there for you and for me. When Paul accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he was forgiven. When I was growing up, there were a number of people I couldn't believe God would forgive. One of them was somebody called Myra Hindley. She was one of the perpetrators of awful, awful murders on the moors. And she said this, "I wish I could put complete trust in God, but I am frightened to do so. For my faith is full of doubts and despair that I'll never be good enough to merit complete forgiveness." She wrote to Lord Longford, an advocate of penal reform at the time, and said this, "I don't think I could adequately express just how much it means to me to have been to confession and to have received Holy Communion. It is a terrifyingly beautiful thing. Terrifying because I've taken a step which has taken me on the threshold of a completely new way of life, which demands so much more from me than my previous one. And beautiful because I feel spiritually reborn. I made such a mess of my old life, and I thank God for this second chance. It doesn't matter whether I live in prison or outside." Friends, God's grace is sufficient for Myra Hindley. As hard as it is for me to get my head around it, and probably yours, yes, there are consequences, and hear this, yes, there are consequences to her actions, and she did indeed die in prison. But God's forgiveness and grace is sufficient for her, and that's between her and God. God's grace was sufficient for Paul. God's grace is sufficient for you and for me. In Hebrews 8:12, it says this, "For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." Today, friends, Jesus wants to say, if you come to him in repentance and say, "I'm sorry," he remembers your sins no more. Wow, he remembers them no more. Paul repented of his past life, and J.R. Packer puts it like this. "The New Testament word for repentance means changing one's mind so that one's views, values, goals, and ways are changed, and one's whole life is lived differently. The change is radical, both inwardly and outwardly, mind and judgment, will and affections, behavior and lifestyle, motives and purpose are all involved. Repenting means starting a new life." Friends, when we come to Jesus and ask his forgiveness and repent and turn from our sin, Jesus remembers our sins no more. I really believe there's some of us here that need to hear that. He remembers them no more. Yes, we may have to deal with the consequences, but God's grace is sufficient. Just as Paul was called by grace, so are you and I called by grace. It's not by works, but by grace, friends. Maybe you've never felt good enough. Friends, God's grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient for me, and he welcomes you. Fourthly, God's agenda. In verse 16, we read this, to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Here in verses 16 and 17, we see Paul spending time with God before other people. He spends time in reflection in Arabia, probably going to Sinai to reflect on what had happened to him on the road to Damascus. He spent time with God before other people. He had a lot to reflect on. You know, he had gone from one way of living to a total about turn, but he went and did it in quiet reflection. Paul then goes back to Damascus. He went back to those who knew what he was like. And Paul had courage to face his past. He didn't run from it. He faced it with God and preached the gospel of Jesus and built his church. Paul also then traveled to Syria and Sicilia, today known to you and me as the southern coast of Turkey. It was there that Tarsus was. Paul had been brought up there. His friends would have been there and would have mocked him because of what his choices he had made to follow Jesus. Yet Paul chose the hard way for the sake of the gospel. Paul went to Arabia, and as I said, he spent time in prayer. He wanted to do God's agenda. For too long, he'd followed his flawed agenda. Just as God spoke to Paul as he prayed and took time out in Arabia, God still speaks to us today if we take the time to listen to him. Why not spend time this week praying that God might give you his agenda? You might already do that, but come to him and ask him, what do you have for my life? Maybe it's in work. Maybe it's in home life. Maybe it's for your family. Maybe it's for your friends. But what is God's agenda? As we pray, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. Let's be people, brothers and sisters, that follow God's agenda, not ours. George MacDonald said, I find that doing the will of God leaves me with no time for disputing his plans. Let's live out God's agenda and plans for our lives, just as Paul did. Fifthly, courageous followers. I don't know what you think of as courage, but one of the things when I was growing up, as an aside, there's this great organisation called Gold Hill Holidays. They're separate from us, but they're part of us because they come to this church. And I went on a one-way camp. And this image reminded me of that one-way camp. That's what it felt like. The cliff was not quite as bad as that. It was a really small cliff, I think down where there's lots of Long Beach, Woolacombe, around that area anyway, around Woolacombe. And for me, that was courage. This is a slightly different sort of courage. It was abseiling off with Clive Beattie saying, it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right, and I'm going off the edge. And Clive used to push you a lot harder than he does now. And I was going off the edge, and I thought, yeah. And I hate heights to this day, but that reminded me of that. Courageous follower. That's what Paul does here. He had a choice. He could have said, no, I'm just going to quietly go and stay in quiet reflection. He doesn't do that. We read this. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. In these verses, Paul defends and proves the independence of the gospel to his readers. Friends, a journey of 1,000 miles must begin with a single step. Friends, Paul courageously stepped out and passionately shared the gospel. He made that first step. He had to step out. He had a choice to make. In the same way, we have a choice. will we step forward and share our story? There are too many people praying for mountains of difficulty to be removed when what they really need, what we really need, is the courage to climb them. Courage is being the only one who knows you're afraid. Friends, you may be afraid to share your story, but remember, Jesus is with you. His Holy Spirit is at work in and through you. Ask Jesus for courage to share your story, just like Paul had courage to share his story, even with his old friends. I wonder if that is for somebody here, that actually, although it's scary, God might be calling you to share your story of salvation, of knowing Jesus, with some old friends. Friends, remember, Jesus was born in a borrowed manger. He preached from a borrowed boat. He entered Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. He ate the Last Supper in a borrowed upper room and was was buried in a borrowed tomb. Now he asks to borrow our lives, his people, to reach the rest of the world with his grace-filled gospel. I was chatting to my mum. You might think I chat to my mum quite a lot. Confession to make, she lives in the village. I don't chat to her as much as I should. I don't see her as much, so I'm sorry. I've said it publicly. Is that all right? Because I know she's thinking it. And I will put that wardrobe together that you've been waiting 6 months for. Anyway, I was chatting to my mum yesterday afternoon. And as I was driving to a friend's 20th celebration of his business in Tame, don't worry, I was on hands-free. I have to put the glasses back. And I was, she was sharing with me that now, before she goes out of the house, she asks Jesus to use her to share the good news of Jesus with the people she meets. It was so cool hearing her story. It was a bit like, actually, when I was younger, hearing older people who I looked up to, hearing their story. Because I think as we get older, we get wiser. And mum's got wiser as she's got older. And now she's praying before she goes out. And it was really cool hearing the stories of how God has used her. I'm not bigging her up. I could have picked a number of you here. I think she's great. But there are a lot of you here are great. But it was really cool hearing how God uses her when she spends time quietly reflecting, quietly praying, and then goes out to maybe a wine tasting thing, or she goes out for coffee with somebody. I don't know why I said wine tasting, because she doesn't go that often wine tasting. Just to say. She's quite good after a Prosecco, but that's okay. Anyway, so that'll be later. Anyway, ask her about the testimonies. Friends, you've got testimonies of how God's used you when you pray out in the streets. It's really exciting. When we pray, Lord, use me, and we step into a business meeting, he'll use you. He'll use you to flourish that business if you're coming before him. You might not outwardly say it in the business meeting, but he will use you. There's people here that I'm looking at that I know he uses you in your business dealings. He uses you in your family life. He uses you as you go to a hospital appointment to bless somebody else, even though you're really struggling yourself. You bless them. Wherever God takes you, whether it's the school gate, allow him to use you. In 1 Peter 3, we read this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. God wants to use all of us in this room who know Jesus to share his grace with our friends, neighbours and community. Each of you will have a unique and different story. But let's be bold, just as Paul was, and let's share it. Paul's autobiography is his best argument. And friends, so is yours. Through the tears, through the joy, through the happiness, your autobiography is the best argument. There's a song that we occasionally sing, and it's this: blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, the refrain goes. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising the Savior all the day long. May we share our story. Friends, your story is epic. Your story is epic. It's not Paul's story. It's not James's story. It's your story. If you are a follower of Jesus, he wants to use your story wherever he takes you. And finally, grace-filled worship. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. Friends, as we come to worship now, remember we're not citizens of this world trying to make our way to heaven. We are citizens of heaven trying to make our way through this world. In verse 23, it said, the early Christians called Paul the persecutor turned preacher. What will people call you and me? How do you want to be remembered? You see, one day somebody might be stood here and they'll speak of the day you were born and there'll be a dash and the date you went to be with Jesus. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want that dash to be remembered? Somebody who kept their faith to themselves, that probably actually wouldn't be said. But I think it would be really fantastic that people said, he, she shared faith with me. Let's worship Jesus now. As we worship, let's embrace his grace, his forgiveness, his welcome, his love, his well done, good and faithful servant. Just as the people praise God in verse 24 for what God had done in Paul's life, let us today praise God for what he's done in ours. That my dear friends, that we would be transformed by Jesus, that we would authentic reflection. Friends, you're called by grace. May we have God's agenda. May we be courageous followers even when it's really tough. And may we worship knowing that we are accepted, we are welcomed, we are part of God's amazing family. Can you stand with me if you're able? One of the things that the guys shared was really around prayer and that people might come for prayer. I really sense there was a few things that I might have said. I might be wrong. But some of you don't feel worthy to be here. You're here because maybe a partner's brought you or you come along each week. But do you know, Jesus embraces you. He says, welcome. Just as he welcomed Paul, he welcomes you. Maybe you're here and you're struggling to feel forgiven. He forgives you. He remembers it no more. Maybe you want to be somebody that shares your story. Friends, we're all of us here, whether we're on platform or out there, we don't do it enough. I went and bought my lunch yesterday, or Friday, I can't remember, it was yesterday. And I walked past the big issue seller. Most times I walk into Marks and Spencer's and buy a salad for lunch. Pleased to know. But do you know what broke my heart? I thought, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be speaking to people and saying, why don't you share your story? I just said, God bless you to the big issue seller and bought this. And there's some quite good articles in it. But you know, it wasn't that. It was actually me saying, I want to make a step forward and say, I'm going to speak to other people that I wouldn't always speak to. Maybe there's that person at the ticket office that you buy your season ticket from. Maybe it's at the petrol station. Maybe it's in the boardroom or the... You walk past the receptionist in the morning in a hurry. Maybe you're going to pause and go in and just have a brief conversation with them and just bless them. God wants to use you. Maybe you want to come and be prayed for. There is a prayer team here who would love to pray with you. Come and receive all that the Lord has for you. He wants to use us. Do you know, it was amazing on Friday night to see a number of you bring in their friends. But do you know what was really cool? There was people that came anyway. They came and they heard the gospel. And we need to be alongside them as we help disciple them, as we multiply fully devoted disciples of Jesus. It's happening, friends. Join in. Get excited. But you know, all that stuff I've talked about, don't try and do it on your own. Allow the Holy Spirit to do it through you. So Stephen and I are here to pray with you, and there'll be other elders, and there's the prayer team. We'd love to pray for you. Just allow God to do stuff.